Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
It's just after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday. Good evening, and let's spend the next hour diving into some practical strategies for managing your money and improving your financial health. Very quickly, the day in a snapshot, a welcome dip in inflation. The JSE positive in afternoon trade. The rand is weaker today. Coming up, why SAA still needs money even though it's debt-free. What does the inflation reduction mean for a rates cut? The US election and the impact on trade, tax and tech in South Africa. And Marlene has our listener question today. That's Marlene from Fairlands. She says, do I need to report the change of employment to my insurance company? Let's start the show.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, I think it's fair to say that SAA, South African Airways, has had a tumultuous journey in recent years, probably an understatement, facing financial difficulties, business rescue, and this controversial halted deal with the Takatso Consortium. But now the airline says it's debt-free, but still requires a capital injection to move forward and expand its operations. And tonight I'm in conversation with the chairman of SAA, Derek Hanekom, to discuss the future of the airline, the role of government support, and the potential for further private sector partnerships. Derek Hanekom, a very warm welcome to you, and thank you so much for joining us. So debt-free and SAA, I never thought I would say that in the same sentence. What has changed here operationally, do you think, that gives us this news?
I think you have to say it a couple of times. Debt-free. SAA is debt-free. Get used to it, because we intend remaining debt-free. I think what has changed is, of course, I mean, we're just consolidating the airline and, you know, bringing stability to it. And with gradual expansion, the historical debt has been covered. And that, of course, came from the Treasury, but that was part of the agreement all along. So at the moment, we are entirely debt-free without any, certainly as you will see when in the soon-to-be-released 23-24 financial statement, you'll see that there's nothing further from Treasury. And in the years ahead, Jeremy, we promise that we are not going to burden taxpayers with further subsidies to SAA, unless they are extremely justified subsidies. And I can get onto that in a while. But for the moment, our plan, our corporate plan for the next 3 to 5 years, does not have any assumption of any further transfer from Treasury. So debt-free it is. But it's still, at the same time, as you would have heard after the SCOPA meeting, the situation is not exactly in the kind of health that we would like to see it in, which is why we are approaching the banks at the moment for not for a loan, but for a loan facility as some kind of buffer, because the cash reserves are not at a level where if anything unexpected happens, like the bird strike, for example, it would, place to put us in some kind of difficulty. So a loan facility is what we're looking at now, not a loan. But things change quite rapidly, Jeremy, as you know, from month to month, things can change in this industry. But for the moment, we're applying for a loan facility of R1 billion, which is not huge. But we, in our budget for next year, there's no drawdown on it. The drawdown will happen if it's necessary. But we think that there might be, you know, as you say, the capital injection that we're talking about is in later years, but there might be sources of capital that come earlier. And if they do come, then we'll be able to bring forward some of our plans, which were, you know, pushed back for a couple of years.
Well, let's talk about that those plans in a moment. But given that, I would suggest SAA is still a high risk proposition in spite of this good news about it being debt free. What sort of response then are you getting from the financial institutions? How are you making your case?
Well, I'm not so sure that it is such a high risk institution. I mean, our balance sheet is very solid. Amongst other things, not even factored in, we still have 2 landing slots in Heathrow. And we get a rental income from those landing slots, at the moment leased to British Airways and to Qatar. And we will not need these two pairs of landing slots. Even, you know, when SAA was at its heyday in terms of numbers of flights, we only used 1 landing slot at Heathrow. So this is also something that is not yet factored in, but is a potential source of capital. We also have unencumbered property to the value of just over 5 billion rand. So It's not, you know, I think the banks are starting to see an organization that is well managed with a good business plan and a good business case. And, you know, it's not that the, you know, we have a precarious balance sheet. I think our cash reserves are where the slight difficulty lies. And this is why we want the loan facility.
Have you not secured that loan facility just yet?
No, we're still in discussion with the banks, but the banks are quite positive, much more positive than they would have been a year ago, and maybe even just around the uncertainty of the termination of the Takatsu deal. But, you know, things have settled down. They can see that we've adjusted our corporate plan and that we're not anywhere near collapsing. In fact, we have solid plans, although modest plans, to move ahead. We're not going to do anything that is excessively risky or that is reckless. Because we have to. Every single new flight, new route that we consider or undertake comes along with serious due diligence and all the considerations. But so far, the expansion on the intercontinental market, especially the Sao Paulo route, both from Johannesburg and from Cape Town, doing extremely well. And the Perth route also doing very, very well.
Derek, is there any appetite to explore further full or partial privatization?
Well, if that is the right word, there's no appetite for full privatization. We don't feel that there's a need for full privatization. This is an airline that can stand on its own. And there is value in having a national carrier, which might be a subject for another day, for another discussion. So the thing that you would call partial privatization could simply mean an investment of some kind. It could be a share equity partner. It could be, as the minister said yesterday at the parliamentary committee meeting, said that it could even be, it doesn't have to be an airline coming in as a partner. It could be the PIC, for example, which has a shareholding in AXA. But, you know, we would leave those approaches to the shareholder. But certainly, I mean, that is what Minister Creasy is saying, that, you know, these potential sources of finance could be approached, whether it's a DFI, a development finance institution, or whether it's another investor. That will depend to some extent, Jeremy. Opportunities also present themselves. You've got to go out and seek. But the situation now is that confidence levels in SAA have really risen dramatically. And we're seeing people starting to approach us. I can't give you examples because these are approaches that still need to be considered and are not in the public domain. But we get the feeling that there's a renewed confidence in the airline.
Let me ask you one final question. I don't need to tell you that the airline industry domestically is highly competitive. Given that you have private airlines like SAFAir and Airlink that are really making inroads into the local market, how can you realistically compete with these carriers given that they do have leaner operations and more flexibility, or at least claim to have?
I don't even think we're particularly trying to compete. You know, our most profitable routes are the regional routes on the African continent, and the kind of aircraft we have, and the experience that we have, including landing rights that we have, allow for expansion on the continent, and of course on the intercontinental routes. So, what we are planning to do is to enter, and have started actually, discussions with some of the other airlines on the domestic routes for possible partnerships that they could provide the feeder flights. But these are discussions. These are early discussions. So we don't think that this is an area where we wish to, or we have any aspirations of becoming a competitor. As you say, it's already a highly competitive market. The margins are very low, actually, and this is not where our strength lies.
But you are competing locally because you've just signed a deal to bring more aircraft in over the festive season and the Easter season with a Turkish charter carrier.
Yeah, no, I should have phrased it differently. Of course, you know, we are an airline that is operating in the domestic market, but we're relatively small in the domestic market. We don't see this as our growth area. So obviously we want to take advantage of the seasonal demand, And the only way we can take advantage, or the best way for us to take advantage of the seasonal demand, is through these so-called wet leases, ACMI leases. But the aircraft that we are acquiring are essentially geared towards doing the longer haul flights, the African right. continental and intercontinental. So we're not wanting to position ourselves as a serious competitor in the domestic market, but by definition, of course, since we are operating in the domestic market, we are one of the competing airlines, but far smaller on the domestic market than Fly SAF Air, for example, which is, you know, the dominant airline in the domestic market.
I'm going to leave it there. Derek Hanekamp, thank you very much indeed for talking to me tonight.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.